To each one of you in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we can have a long day, and maybe we're tired tonight. Maybe we don't feel like singing. But I was just sitting there listening to the singing. I was singing my own heart. The singing is beautiful. You know, is it well with our soul tonight? You know, we sing that song year by year by year. But is it well with our soul tonight? John D. Martin said there's more lying goes on in song services than he knows of anything else. You know, it's the songs, they're writers, it isn't the word of God, but I was just thinking about that. It is well with my soul tonight, hallelujah. It's well with our soul. Tonight I would say that the Lord has been working in our life as a family, and my life as an individual, and all of your lives, I know that, but so tonight will probably come out as part of a burden that has been on my heart. Comes from the song 946. Maybe after I'm done, we won't sing it now. The song 946. We'll just look at that a little bit here. When I sang a number of years ago with the young people, I remember going around this with them and singing this song. And every time I would sing it, it would stir in my heart. And you know, when burdens are born, it's year by year, it don't just go away because we don't sing it no more or we lose it. But there's a line that is drawn by rejecting our Lord, where the call of his spirit is lost, and you hurry along with the pleasure mad throng. Have you counted the cost? And then it's a refrain, of course. You may barter your hope of eternity's morn for the moment of joy at the most. For the glitter of sin and the things it will win, have you counted the cost? While the door of his mercy is open to you, ere the depth of his love you exhaust, won't you come and be healed? Won't you whisper, I yield, I've counted the cost? And tonight I would like to look at, there's a line that is drawn. The title, a few thoughts, The Line of Mercy. You know, sometimes when we hear the word line, it can sound authoritative. It can sound maybe harsh. But tonight, the line of God is mercy. The line of God is mercy. None of us know what judgment is tonight. We get judged by a speeding ticket or a T-road where we have to stop and pay a fine. We have to do certain things because there's judgment. But tonight, beloved, judgment we don't know about. What we're experiencing is mercy. Hallelujah tonight. It's the line of God and it's mercy. And I was just smitten in my heart the last number of weeks thinking about the line of God, the word of God. The line of God tonight isn't our set of values. It isn't a certain group. The line of God is the word of God. And the word of God will be transferred from here to all eternity. That's inspiring to us. May that do that this evening. I was thinking, it is the greatest fulfillment of life is to love God and His Word. If you've ever walked away from God or if you've ever been cold, all of us have testimonies. There's no fulfillment there. Nothing. To be in line with God, to press toward His line. This line is in the Word of God through His Son Jesus Christ, through the flesh of His Son Jesus Christ. You know, it's attainable, it's workable. We all want to be in the presence of Jesus Christ tonight, but we all for sure want to be there on that great day, on the reappearing of Jesus Christ when He calls His church home. Well, tonight, that will only happen if we're willing to continue to step over the line. In faith, step over the line. I would like to look at a few areas, probably tonight, some practical areas I was thinking on. If you turn your Bibles to Isaiah, I would look like primarily, first I would like to look at a sinner, a lost soul. Then I would like to look at also us as saints. We are continually brought to this word. But first tonight, we want to look at a sinner. In the condition of a sinful humanity is the call of mercy. to bring a sinner friend face to face with God's Word. To bring that tonight. I would turn to Isaiah just for some verses. To the sinner. And it says in verse 10, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 10. It says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the bulls, in the blood of bullocks or lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread down my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meetings. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless and plead the widow." And then in your Bible, I'm sure there's probably a drop there or a comma or a different and a very familiar verse. Come now and let us reason together. Saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And we could continue to read there. If you go on, you can read. We'll go into verse 26, verse 25. "And I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away thy tin. And I will restore thy judges as at the first and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment and her converts with righteousness. And the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed." Some very familiar verses. We've been starting through the book of Isaiah as a family, and the burden of Isaiah was for the people of Judah. And you know, that burden doesn't go away. That burden from Isaiah should rest upon God's people. You know, I was in a little bit of the travels we've done, come across some conversations like we all do, and I think of sometimes the Old Testament, you know, the church, God's people, and you could call it Israel, Judah. There they were, up and down, up and down, up and down. And the prophets were killed and sawn asunder. But there was that verse 27, "Zion shall be redeemed with judgment." Now this judgment word is mercy this tonight. We have been redeemed through the judgment of God's word tonight. We don't need to fear that horrible judgment of the wrath of God poured out upon the children of disobedience. But my sinner friend tonight, you need to fear that. You need to fear that. Sinner friend, would you come and step over the line? Tonight you can step over the line. You know, there's a million excuses in our minds. I'm too good. And I was going back to my travels a little bit, thinking over what we think, what humanity thinks. And I've come across one that I've been musing on, and I'm going to share it. You know, tonight we have altars. This is an altar. This is we call it that. There's been many church altars, and sometimes we wonder why the altars aren't full. And we have a lot of discussions about that. The altars of God is in our living room. The altar of God is in our barn. It's in our vehicle. It's not here. But these altars tonight are open. God's altars are open. And some of the thoughts come, you know, because we have so much teaching and everybody is so holy. There's really no need for a bunch of repentance anymore. I want us to think about that. When some of the traffic and some of the ideas and some of the lifestyles and the patterns still have production of sin. We need to repent from sin. And we need to come to an altar, not this altar, but we need to repent from sin. and come to the altar of God. Not this altar. That's why I shared earlier, yeah, we can come to this altar. Up. Stand up and come to God. You know, He'll never do that for you and I. He'll never do that. And I think about that. We love teaching, but we're not convinced tonight that the world is becoming more holy because of teaching. Now, it's right. We need to teach. But we become holy by a transformation of a new humanity, a new life. And so if you're a sinner friend tonight, you can never make yourself holy. You got to come for that divine surgery, that new life. God's Word. There's a very likely a number of souls in here tonight. Very likely. The reason the burden was in my life, I was thinking about my own family, my own life in particular. I remember when God called this sinner. I remember, you all remember that. But God's making another call in 2025. Tonight, come. Come. Not, you don't need to come up here, but you can come, sinner. Sinner, come tonight. There's mercy. There's mercy on the mercy seat. And I was thinking, you know, we don't beg. You know, for the days of begging for hours and hours and hours for men to come to Christ. We can beg all night long, but God needs to come. God in heaven needs to come and draw us to Him by His mercy. The line of His mercy. You know, tonight, one of the most dangerous things to do is to compare yourself with your friend. Or compare yourself with someone else. It's dangerous to do that. Because the Spirit of God, when it works in your life and my life, the most profitable thing to do is come and step over the line. Just confess it and come forward. And tonight we look at the sinner. It's not the right word that we say, just saying everything just right. But it's coming to the Word of God. We won't say everything right. And to this day, I'm sure I don't say everything just right. But come to the Word of God. Come to that plumb line that Amos put up. The Word of God. Talk with your friends and try to get comfort. Oh, you're all right. It's an age-old lie. We need comfort from God. We need a comfort from God. And I thought of tonight that this is something a little different for me. A Sunday evening hymn singing. But I was thinking, you know, we love to teach. I love to teach how to live and how to. But I was thinking tonight, the call of God is that we need to come to faith. We need to come to God. We need to come to this. If you turn your Bibles over to Mark chapter 8, we want to look at this a little bit. Stay in my time here. Mark chapter 8, if you turn there. Mark chapter 8, verse 34, this is Jesus' words, and when he called, verse 34, it says, and when he called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And you know, when you see the scene of Jesus' teachings there, whosoever of you shall be ashamed of me and my words in this generation, of him will I be ashamed of in that day. And I was thinking on these things the last few days, probably 4 or 5 weeks ago, I was thinking about, you know, this song. And in the last few days, I was just thinking, what is God teaching me? What is God teaching you? And He wants me to continue, you and I to continue to just obey Him. And whenever He brings something to us, we obey Him. Whenever we stop, God stops. God's an honorable God. He stops. I can play for a long time, but God stops. whenever I don't fully come across that line. You know, I can stand straddle a line and I can please one side or another. I can do that for a long time. But God's calling us to stand on the other side of the line. Come to Him. That line of mercy, He will help us. You know, whosoever will save his life tonight as a sinner friend, all you're really doing is trying to save your life, but the authority of the Word of God would say you will lose it. You will lose it. And the reason I say that is because if you think with me tonight in Revelations, turn back to Revelations for a few verses and in that light. Revelations chapter 20, verse 11 to 15. This is the last judgment. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And the dead and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. Verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And when we think of being lost or losing it, you know, we might make some terrible mistakes and lose some money, or we might lose our reputation by what we do. We might lose. But the eternal burden of the Word of God is tonight that we don't want to lose this. We don't want to lose it here. None of us want to lose it here. You know, when you think of death and hell, I was thinking tonight that through the humanity from Isaiah, all from the start of the Word of God, all the way to this evening, how many graves are full? How many boxes, wooden boxes, cement boxes, are laid in the ground? Men's bodies are laid in this dirt, only to be resurrected into one life or another. And we have the same opportunity tonight. The same opportunity, because the Word says here, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire from the unrepentant position. Unrepented. So death and hell would be death in the grave. So the grave is not over tonight. Isn't that amazing? In the grave, it's not even close to over. It's just begun. In the grave, it's not close to over. It says that when we think of those words in Matthew, our thoughts go back to there again. If our pursuit is to gain the whole world and lose our own soul, that's exactly what will happen. Tonight, that's exactly what will happen. And I was just smitten by that. But if we lose our life for Jesus' sake, then the Gospels will save it. If the contradiction isn't inviting or isn't merciful, it's very merciful tonight. Very merciful. To have our lives saved. Hallelujah. Saved. It's merciful. You know, the Word of God. I was thinking of that. Have you counted the cost? We'll go into a little bit of some practical thoughts here for some as Christians. Have we counted the cost? We think we do. We try, but we miss it sometimes. We don't always know what's ahead. But continue to know that when we count the cost, you'll have to pay for it. You have to pay for the decision. You'll have to go through the decision. Because that line of mercy tonight is very merciful. You know, that line of the Word of God tonight, it will judge. It will judge one day that we, in a way that we have never experienced. Tonight, we have no judgment. It may feel a little uneasy tonight if we're not right with God. And we may feel a little offended about maybe what I said. Maybe I said something that was offensive. That's not my goal. But this is nothing but, the judgment is not close to this. Our hearts would be that the Spirit of God would come and the messenger would just be a vessel. Spirit of God would come, and a sinner would come. We're called to serve. I want to look at a few points here for our own lives as God's people. the saints of God. You know, God's people in Isaiah, God never has intended to stop purging us. That's what he's doing. God is purging his people. It's not his good pleasure that any man perish, but he wants to purge us, as we saw in Isaiah there. That's what Isaiah knew. Isaiah knew that God wanted to purge people. He wanted to do that. And tonight he wants to do that because he's an honorable God. He's a heavenly Father tonight. He loves us and he wants to purge us. He wants to bring us. Tonight I was thinking of some practical things for us. You know, I kept thinking this earlier this week. Up. You know, we have a field of carnality that we live in. We live here as saints. But I would like to exhort us as saints up from the grave. Up from the field of carnality. God has a Holy Spirit through his word that he wants to help us live. He wants to help us live above this world of iniquity and sin. And what I mean by the word up is come up and reach up to God, and his mercy will come and give us strength and divine power. Come up to that. And saying that tonight, maybe there's, as Christians, maybe there's something we get used to. Maybe I'm thinking of a marriage tonight. There's a lot of marriages in here tonight. Maybe there's something that just isn't right. It just isn't right. Just step over the line. Maybe it's too embarrassing to even think about, whatever it may be. But I would say that the call of the Word of God is that if you never start, there's no hope. There's no hope, beloved. Start. You know, if you picture a line with me, I thought about drawing on the board. You know, picture with me tonight. Here's the line. You know, and you can say, well, it's a real hard line. No, it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. And we're under here as lost humanity, or even on this line as saints. And then there's life has crossroads we come to. God's calling us at crossroads at times. So maybe there's a marriage tonight that you know it's not right. Something's not right. Come across the line. Don't wait. Because there's healing, there's mercy. We don't. But God in his divine word does. Mercy is there. The holy mercy of God. He will come and help us. You know, tonight that's a marriage. I was thinking in Ephesians there, Ephesians chapter 4. Just a few words of that for exhortation. Ephesians chapter 5, I'm sorry. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. We could continue to read, but just a practical thought. Husbands, love your wives. Wash them in the Word of God. And you know, if some of those things are stressed and strained, just come to the Word of God, and go ahead, move forward. You know, that's practical for us. Life gets busy. Love your wife. Be together in marriage. It's a powerful truth. It brings great joy to our family, to the children. Now let's think of children. You know, maybe there's a young person, maybe there's a younger child. It's just struggling to be obedient tonight. Just struggling. You know, you don't talk about it with anybody, but I'm just kicking. I would plead with you tonight to come. Come to the line. Because God wants to help you. Obedient to God first, I realize that. But obedient to your parents. Love them. Give your heart to them. It's the Word of God. It's not a certain group's ideas. It's the written Word of God. It will bless your life, young man, young woman. Love this mercy. My friend, my brother, come. Young men, young women. Sometimes we just find it hard. We just find it hard because it's just, we don't like it. I understand that. But tonight, There's no promise in future for those things. There's no promise. God has to stop wherever you stop. Wherever you and I stop, God has to stop. I had to think tonight of loving your brother. If you go back to 1 John, some of those exhortations on children, I think of Colossians and Ephesians. There's a lot of verses about that. It simply speaks of children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Children, that's the word of God. It's the line of God. Maybe we stepped in here and we confessed our sins. And we're at a crossroad. I don't like what Dad says. I don't like what Mom says. It's a crossroad that God has a plan. And it's great mercy tonight to follow that plan. Great mercy. May God help us. Thinking tonight also then another point is brothers. Brothers loving each other. I'm very thankful tonight for brothers loving each other. We can love each other a long time. We can do that because when we don't care about occasion, and we don't care about our name, but we care about our brother. We can love each other. And so I was thinking to be very practical with that thought, you know, there may be a brother in here tonight that's been dodging another brother for quite a time because you just don't know how to deal with this difficult situation. Come. Come to the line. Because it won't work. It don't matter how bad it is, it won't work. And it don't matter how right or how wrong you were. God wants us to come. Come to this line of God. I understand the feelings sometimes. This is going to be a painful situation to take care of it. But come. The other pain is not to be compared. Because at those points, we're deciding again to try to save ourselves. We're trying to save ourselves. And we become ashamed. Let's not do that. The call this evening is come. And the thing that we sometimes battle with is because it's a journey. Sometimes we want to come tonight and we want to do something and everything just goes away. It doesn't always work that way. It takes time. But you need to start. You need to come. You know, when I've come to the altar of God, in my 19th year, my birthday, I don't even know what that's supposed to sound like tonight. But there's been many more come to God. Tonight I was just thinking in 1 John, I was thinking of the scriptures, why we shared earlier that God's word is the line. 1 John chapter 3 verse 10, it says, "In this the children of God are manifested and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither is he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him?" With a question mark. And I think it's very interesting how that will come out there. The reason that Cain slew his brother is because Cain's works were righteous and his was unrighteous. He knew it. Cain knew it. He knew that his brother was righteous. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes God's working in your life and differently than another brother. But help love our brother. Rejoice with our brothers. Cry with our brothers. It says there, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you." It says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." I'll stop there. I think those are a few practical exhortations for coming to the line. We started with a sinner. We started with our marriages. We're Christians. You know tonight something's wrong. You know tonight, young person, something's wrong. I just can't quite face my daddy. I can't quite talk to mommy. Come. And you know tonight, maybe there's a brother. I just wish I could not pass him at the same aisle. Come. God says, come. Get started. Because tonight, you know what? There's a grave waiting for every one of us. It'll be a box. It'll be over. In this sense. But there's another resurrection coming. That we all want to be very much a part of that. The resurrection of life. Not the resurrection of damnation, of eternal judgment. So tonight, I don't know if we want to sing that song. I'd appreciate that song to be sung. Again, in Revelations, it says, that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And Zion and his people don't need to do that. We don't need to be cast into the lake of fire. Up again tonight, up, beloved, all of us together. Out of the field of carnality, and let's press toward the Word of God. The written Word of God, the beauty of God's Word and His mercy for us tonight. So I think I'll let off there. May God bless you. I appreciated being here thus far this evening, and may we continue to sing. And if there's a need to do business with God, this altar is open too. I was just making some points. In your rooms tonight at home, it's open. You can come to God. So God bless you, and let's pray for each other.